no football to be played. If the Dolphins aren't playing, football doesn't happen.
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. It has been some time since we last spoke, but we are here to recap the final 2 weeks of the Dolphins season. I'm going to blame everything on my wonderfully talented co-host and producer, who is really the heartbeat of this show, but I'll explain to everybody why it's all Rob's fault that we didn't make the playoffs. How are you doing, Rob?
Well, I was doing fine till I found out it's my fault. Now I feel kind of bad. I should have stepped up. I should have played harder.
You should have. So I will apologize to our listeners for us not getting a cast out leading up until the Buffalo game. We had the Dolphins were 9-5 in weeks that we did have a podcast. 10-5 in weeks that we did have a podcast, and they were actually undefeated when Rob and I did casts together in person. And despite me trying my best to get Rob to cast on New Year's Eve, he had bigger and better plans. So we were not able to cast in person on New Year's Eve. Then I traveled back to California after the new year, and then watched our Dolphins summarily get murdered by the Buffalo Bills.
So
because Rob was too busy to podcast on New Year's Eve. So Rob, defend yourself.
So you're saying we had 6 days to do it, and the only time slot you had available for me to cast was New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And because the one
hey man,
day-
I was traveling, you know, I was on the road. You need to cater to my schedule.
That all my fault. I did it. I had plans on New Year's Eve, and I sat on my thumbs all the days around it when you were doing whatever you were doing.
Oh, fun stuff. So, things were looking great, right? The Raiders game it did not go as we anticipated. The Raiders were much tougher than either you or I thought. But then Fitzpatrick comes in. And gets the save, I guess, in the relief. Or no, he got the win, actually, because they were losing when they brought him in. So as a relief pitcher, he would have got the win in that scenario. But what an exciting game that was, and that throw that he made at the end. So I was actually watching the game at Three Birds, which it seems like every time I watch a game at Three Birds, I think one of the last games I had watched at Three Birds before I moved to California was the Miracle. And then we had this Raiders game, and I think the end of that Raiders game was every bit as crazy as the end of the Miami Miracle. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I'll let you talk about how you felt. That's another thing. You were playing a show that night too. So the Dolphins remained number two in your book.
Actually, that show, because of the cold, the Florida cold, got moved up. So the game started as I was packing up, but I went home and watched it.
So you're saying you could have come with me to watch it at Three Birds and chose not to?
That is correct. That is absolutely 100% truth.
Well, it was an amazing game. That throw by Fitzpatrick, that's going to most likely be his last play as a Miami Dolphin. He did have a play right after that, but his last completion as a Miami Dolphin. And boy, what a way to end it. I really loved the 2 years that he was here. I am going to miss him. I doubt they bring him back.
Agreed. I did go back and watch that game after the fact. And as bad as the offense was, obviously, I mean, Tua wasn't terrible. Like, a lot of the drives were stalled because, you know, like, the problem is once Tua can't, obviously, him and Fitz's strengths are completely different. And
correct.
Once you have a holding or a sack or something, you know, he can't really overcome those. So, you know, when we're not running.
Well, not with the weapons that he currently has around him.
Right. I'm saying, right now, and for that week, for week 14, 15, and 16, and 17.
Right.
And when we're not running the ball, then we're in trouble. Like Tua's the what he's given us this year as a rookie without, you know, I'm not saying he's garbage. I'm saying what he was in year one without a good running game, he's you know, he's very limited.
Right. But all great quarterbacks make a make a step, right? They have to take a step. Like, so if he's going to be a great quarterback, he's going to need to take a step. Like, Fitzpatrick's been playing for 17 years. Of course, he's going to get the ball out faster than Tua does.
Right.
You know, like that's like that's what 17 years of experience does. Like, that lets you, you know, identify pressure and get the ball out faster, which Tua clearly was struggling with in that Raiders game. Seemed like he was playing pretty well up until that, you know, towards once the Raiders started bringing that added pressure, and he just had no answer for that.
Right. But
so we got to see Fitzpatrick come in and show him how to do that.
So I did. I actually. And wow, this was so long ago. I was planning to do the podcast, and I owed you an apology, James.
I forgot why.
I apologize.
Is it for costing us the Buffalo Bills game?
No, I forgive you for that. no, so the week before, now going back to week 15, when we played, before we played the Patriots, you asked me, do I think Tua will, there'll be a hook for a quick hook for Tua if we run into trouble, and would they put Fitzpatrick in? And I'm like, no, I mean, I'm like, they're going to live and die by Tua, and your question was just a week early, because obviously you were right. That quick hook
was there. I knew it was
going
to be there. I mean, just because they're in the, as long as they were in, as long as they had a chance to make the playoffs, like, you got to do that. Like,
yeah, I didn't see it. I wasn't completely shocked by it, but I thought they would stick with him just to be like, you're the guy. I'm not saying I'm mad that they obviously that they went to Fitz, although then Fitz gets COVID I don't think even Fitz was going to win that Buffalo game, but
no, they made it. Yeah. So that leads us up to the Buffalo game. So get up into, they go to Buffalo and, summarily just lay an egg all the way around and prove that they are not ready for primetime yet, which is fine. I'm glad that the Colts didn't end up losing to the Jaguars, which was a much closer game than I thought it was going to be. I was fine with them not making the playoffs after that Buffalo game.
I didn't want to go back to Buffalo.
No,
the next week
it's going to be a later draft pick to watch them just go up there and lose. Like, maybe they probably play better, but it's, yeah.
Here's a big but for you. If they had won, let's say they won the Denver game. Let's say they win, they get to 11 and make the playoffs. Yeah. Then they go to Pittsburgh and play a terrible Steelers team that they could have beaten, and then would have probably gone ahead. Now, granted, everything goes different, but if it's a one-legged concussed Mahomes Chiefs team with Chad Henne, all of a sudden we're losing to Buffalo this week and not and not then.
Whatever. I'm very, very impressed with the Dolphins this season. They far exceeded my expectations. Really, really like what they did on the defensive side of the ball. Looking forward to seeing them make the adjustments on offense and seeing what that offense looks like next year. The three interceptions that Tua threw in the Buffalo game, I mean, one of them, Parker fell down. The other one, you know, one of the three was bad, I thought. You know, there was the pick six, Parker fell down. Like, there's...
But I mean, but the game
Parker
was also
down, that's a first down.
But the
right?
game was also getting out of it was already kind of out of hand at the point
correct.
Of those.
Correct. Yeah, the defense started out very strong. Like, and then that was the thing. Like, when they had that early drive, they had that early possession after the Byron Jones interception, which was amazing.
Right.
They needed to score a touchdown on that drive, and they didn't. Right. You know, and that kind of set the tone for the game. I think, you know, didn't Sanders miss a field goal as well at some point? It didn't really matter. I mean, they were just like, after that first quarter, like, Buffalo put up 28 in the second quarter, right?
Right. And again, yeah. But we've said this about our defense. That defense can't be on the field as long as they were. We weren't sustaining drives, and they were out there, and then Buffalo was just you know, chunk, and the defense was just gas. That defense, no defense can be out there that long, and this defense is obviously not suited for that.
No, they didn't play well in the second half, though, either, when the offense was moving the ball. And they were playing against Matt Barkley, for crying out loud. So
he looked good. Can we get him?
Either way, not a very good game. I thought, you know, Tua that loss was not on Tua. The three interceptions are a little misleading. Every NFL pundit and everything after the game was like, oh, Dolphins get murdered and Tua throws three interceptions and looks terrible. I was like,
I mean, he didn't look good because we were not sustaining drives. And this team, the offense, I mean, the thing we hate seeing, right, is even with Tua, I'm a believer, right? We'll get into the whole Watson or whatever, and
where we're going right
but
after.
But if we go into next season with Tua, I'm fine. I think with an off season, with a new offensive coordinator, with some weapons, hopefully that'll be healthy and around him, I think he'll be fine. But never seeing the chunk, you know, he only threw like three deep passes like the whole year. I don't know how much of that is him, how much of that's the play call, how much is the getting used to it, but like, I want big plays. I want some big plays.
So I went back and watched some of his tape. So in the Kansas City game, he had a couple nice longer throws. The Arizona game where he had a full cadre of weapons, he made several good deep throws in that game as well. Even at the end of the Buffalo game in junk time, he had a nice deep ball to Parker, and he also the touchdown pass to Perry was actually, you know, was a longer pass. So I mean, he's capable of doing it. He did it in college as well. I think, you know, you have to have, you know, the right play calling. He has to be able to read defenses better. He has to be able to handle pressure better. You know, there's those sorts of things. So thinking about it, like in terms, like obviously Herbert had a much better statistical season than Tua. But if you look at, in my eyes, if you look at the, you know, the extenuating circumstances, Herbert had a, you know, an offensive line with two Pro Bowlers that was healthy all year. He had one wide receiver that's maybe the best in the NFL, and another wide receiver that's an emerging star. He has, you know, a running back that is, you know, very, very underrated and also excellent in the passing game. So he had all of those things, and the team was behind a lot. So he was throwing a lot of the season. It wasn't a good team. So his numbers are going to, you know, like, yes, his numbers statistically were much better. When they went head to head, who was the better quarterback in that game? Like, Tua was the better quarterback in that game. They played each other head-to-head, and Tua was better with much less weapons.
You can't look at their numbers because the Dolphins were winning with defense and running the ball during their stretches. Tua wasn't asked to throw the ball, right?
Exactly. I think it's very, very misleading. Now, I'm not saying, do I think Tua right now is an elite NFL quarterback? No, absolutely not. Does he have the tools to become an elite NFL quarterback? I think so. Will he become an elite NFL quarterback? I have no idea. I'm excited to find out, though. So I'm fine with them going with Tua. Let's say we'll talk about Watson next, but
I want to see Tua taking them Texans to the playoffs every other year.
Before
we jump in there, I was going to say, you also can't go crazy about like how good Herbert's season was, because something you said before, how many great quarterbacks make the leap in year two or whatever? How many great rookie quarterbacks didn't turn out to be great quarterbacks? Like, you've got like from Baker, who is Wentz, playing better now, from Wentz, RG3, like, just because a guy explodes doesn't mean he's automatically a star. Now, I'm not saying Herbert won't, because he did look good. But so much happens when an NFL has a year of tape on a guy and they come in and come back. I don't expect Herbert to make a giant leap. I expect his numbers to actually fall back from where they were. But also, I think their team will be better, and they won't be throwing as much. You know, they won't be in as much of that garbage time stuff as they had this year. So not saying it'll be because Herbert completely sucks, but I don't think he's not going to be – I'm not going to be drafting him in the top five of a fantasy team, is what I'm saying.
No, absolutely not.
And he played like that this year. I mean, numbers wise.
Okay. So scenario one, Dolphins keep Tua, they keep all their draft capital, and they just, you know, they have $25 million in cap space right now as it stands.
Is that on what cap number? Because I saw that it should go down to 180, is what I read somewhere.
It said that today an article I was reading said they had 25 million okay. cap space. So I'm assuming I don't know if the new cap number's out, but that's what they're projecting them to have to spend.
Okay.
So, running back, offensive line, wide receiver, right? Those are like basically everything on offense. My defense, I think they could use a pass rusher. I think a definite get to the quarterback. They did a good job of mixing it up last year or this past season. I think this was, I saw a stat. This is the first year they ever had three linebackers that had more than five sacks. That would be Jerome Baker, Van Noy, and Van Ginkle all had at least five sacks this year, which is pretty cool. Ogba, I think, was the leader, led the team in sacks. I think he had probably around like nine. I'd like to see Wilkins get more. I feel like he doesn't, I like Wilkins a lot, but you know, I mean, he was a top 15 draft pick. I would kind of expect a little bit better production out of him in the pass rush, but
he might be doing more of that Sue role of eating up blockers.
I like him a lot. I'm glad he's on the team. Definitely not saying he's a bust. I would just like to see him, you know, I'd like to see more splash plays out of him in the passing game, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? Like I said, if they get, I would like to see, you know, ideally I would like to, you know, if they're sitting at 18 and, you know, if Parsons slips for whatever reason, you know, he's the number one pass rusher in this draft from Penn State, or the kid from Miami, Rousseau, University of Miami Hurricanes, you know, very, very tall, lean, kind of reminds me of a young Jason Taylor. You know, that would be, I think that's pretty good value at 18 if they can get a pass rusher there. So I'm fine with, I mean, I obviously we're huge. We're very, very excited about the amount of capital they have in this draft. I would like them to address at least, I would like them to see them use two of the high picks. And by high picks, I mean, top 100. I would like, they have three, pick number three, pick number 18, pick number 35 or 36. I can't remember if it's 35 or 36, pick number 50, and then pick number 81. So that's five picks in the top 100 again. So I would like to see two of those on offensive linemen. I would like to see at least one wide receiver. If they can get Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama, if they can get him with that first pick in the second round, if he's still there, I think that's a no-brainer. But that's, you know, it doesn't kill the draft if they don't get him. It's, you know, kind of a nice to have, not a have to have. I would like them to focus on offense in this draft.
And the star running backs can be drafted later. Like you don't have to get them early.
Same. I've done a number of mock drafts. I think I shared one with you, and you said you didn't. I don't think you recognized any of the names except for Devontae Smith at number three. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that's who they draft. I would be fine if they drafted the tackle Sewell, who's allegedly a generational type of talent at tackle. I believe they're comparing him to Orlando Pace. That sounds very nice to me, having that on the left side with Austin Jackson, then shifting over to the right. Then you move Robert Hunt in at guards. So then you have Hunt, Kindley, draft a center. There's some good interior offensive linemen in this draft. If they can draft one of them. Then you have a very talented young offensive line to protect Tua for the next decade, which I think is a no-brainer to me, but I will, I don't know. Is that kind of what you're thinking, Rob?
Yes. Weird question, because to his lefty, would you consider putting the new guy at right tackle? I mean, technically, right tackle is your left tackle.
I'm sure they'd have an idea as to like how they'd want to do it, but I think if he's used to playing on the left side and he's that good,
right,
just keep him there. Jackson seems to be able to switch to both sides. Kind of when they drafted him, they had said that,
right,
that Jackson could play both sides. So if he's more able to do that, just play to your strengths, I would say.
I mean, in the old days when we were kids and watching football, they would only put the best pass rusher on the blind side. And
correct.
then people were like, hey, that's weird. That's their best offensive lineman. Maybe we'll put him here. Even if he sees him coming, it's much better if he can actually get to him. So it's
right. Exactly. So, but I would be honestly, like, I'm hoping they draft Devontae Smith and then get the offensive lineman later. Like, and by later, I mean, you know, either 18 or 35 or 50 or, you know, any combination of those picks.
I don't think they're going to do a wide receiver at three. I don't know why. I just feel like that's something that, this team
it does
won't
seem
do.
Out of character for this team. I feel like if they're going with Tua, right? Devontae's like, that's his boy.
Right.
And he's the best wide receiver in the draft. And I know it's out of character for this team, but it seems like they would, you know, if they're really interested in building around Tua,
but I've also seen, Smith going as the third wide receiver on some mock drafts. They're having the guy from LSU.
I think after that national championship game, he's going to be, he's probably going to be the first off the board.
It depends.
There are other good wide receivers. That's another thing too. If you go Sewell, you can get a good wide receiver at 18. The top three are going to be gone, but there's a receiver from Minnesota, Bateman, who's supposed to be extremely, extremely talented as well. Supposed to be a very deep draft for wide receivers. So,
right.
There's any combination of wide receivers that they could get at, 18, 35, 50, if they wanted to double it up.
But again, but to me, one of the more likely scenarios is, well, it depends heavily on what the Jets do. If the Jets take the tackle, I can't see the Dolphins not trading that third pick for somebody who wants Fields. I can't see them not getting out of there and then getting Smith with the 8th or the 10th or the 12th or one of the, then I could see them doing it.
Yeah.
Or one of the other wide receivers. You'll have your
He's probably not going to make it past Philadelphia at 6 is what they're saying for Smith. So, anyway, we'll see how it goes. So the big elephant in the room then is the Deshaun Watson story, right?
Ooh,
so
who's
that's
that?
The other big piece of play here.
What's that about Deshaun Watson? There's been news.
Let me inform you, Rob. So, Deshaun Watson, is the extremely talented quarterback of the Houston Texans. I would say well on his way to making the Hall of Fame, barring injury, he's incredible. I would say top five quarterback in the league right now, right?
So
maybe top three.
I love Deshaun Watson.
Correct.
If I had to pick, dynasty wise, starting a team and age is a factor, he's my number two behind Mahomes.
Right. Yeah.
Is Russell Wilson better? Yes, but he's 5 years older. So he's my number two to build a franchise around. So if that's if it's available, you have to see if you can get him. I love Tua. I want to see what Tua can do. I'm psyched if we go in with Tua. But if Watson wants out of there, you have to try to see what it costs and if it's worth it.
Yeah. So here's my hot take. As long as he doesn't go to the Jets, I'm fine with pretty much any outcome in this scenario. As long as he doesn't go to the Jets, I'm fine. I'm happy with Tua. I just got done saying, I believe in him. I'm totally fine if they're going to hand the reins over to him. I prefer Watson. I mean, the Dolphins are in a very, very good position right now. They're literally holding all the cards. They have by far the most draft capital to get the trade done. They have they're a destination where they allegedly, I haven't actually seen it quoted directly, but they have said that is one of the places that Tua would waive his no trade clause for
Watson. But yes,
said he likes the culture, he likes flow. It seems like a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. They're the two teams that make the most sense to me for him to go to are the San Francisco 49ers or the Miami Dolphins. Those seem like no brainers to me.
But
Jets.
You can't put a price on being a superstar in New York. Why is Baker Mayfield in 10 more, in every commercial and Watson isn't? You put him in New York and he's going to, there's something to be said by that. Now, as far as I don't want him to go to the Jets because I hate the Jets, but I think the Jets would have to give up so much that they would just be the Texans. They would just be another terrible team that Watson would have to carry into the playoffs and not go anywhere.
So trade package that makes sense, right? So that's another the initial whatever what they were saying it was going to cost to get him was obviously astronomical given how talented he is and how young he is. But the fact that there's a no trade clause makes it a little different. I think realistically the Dolphins could get Watson with a package of something like Tua, the number three pick in this draft, one of the probably the early second round pick that we have this draft, and then a second round pick next year. So basically that's two ones if you count Tua as a one, and two twos. I think that that is a reasonable package, you know, and that's, that helps them rebuild. They have their young quarterback, they get two early picks in this draft back, and then they get, you know, an extra pick in the second round.
Honestly, pure open market, I don't think that's enough. If Watson forces,
but it's not a pure open market.
I know. If the dream scenario for us is he says I want to go to the Dolphins, and that's it. I want to be traded, but I'm only waiving my no trade clause to go to the Dolphins. Then something like that'll work. If he's open to three or four teams, then it's, you know, you might be looking, and I don't know if you would pull the trigger on this, but you might be looking at Tua and like both ones this year and a one next year. It could be just four ones.
So I mean,
that's a lot.
I would still do that, but I'm not happy about that.
Right. I would probably still have to do it also with an early second and the 2 seconds, and next year's one we hope would be in the 20s, so we could live without it if we had to.
Right.
And a big factor on this is, you know, how the what do the Texans think of Tua? If they're high on him, they'll be, you know, then they're.
I read a story today. This was the first time I had seen it. Like, so this, and this, it said that they were not as high on him, but that could just be posturing.
That's posturing, because they were high on him before this year. Like, they're whatever's left of their front office. I have actually a buddy who's a Texans fan, and when the first rumor of Deshaun, like, being unhappy, I just texted him. I'm like, can you guys rehire Bill O'Brien for like a week?
All right. We are at time for the first segment. So it's going to be a different segment through this show, as there are no more Dolphin games. When we come back from the break, we're going to recap the season of Fantasy Camp, which, big shocker, I won. And we'll also do the we'll recap Pick'em, and now we'll go through some of the playoff games. We'll kind of talk about how we see those playing out this weekend. So please stay tuned. And we're back. Okay, so real quick before we get into recapping our games that we played all season long, let's get I did want to bring this up. We didn't get a chance to address it in the last segment, was the anonymous quotes from the Dolphins players that happened last week about it was three players who did not give their names. So we know one of them was on defense. I believe that's all we know. And again, the media was spinning it like they were bashing Tua, but did you read the actual quotes? They weren't that bad. Like they were just saying they didn't necessarily think that he was a franchise quarterback. And if you see I can't remember. Was it who was it in Kansas City that was like, you know, they thought Mahomes was terrible when he was a rookie.
Oh, so, right. I mean, yeah.
You know, it's not like the quotes, they weren't that alarming to me. And one of the guys that, you know, I guess one of the ones that even bashed him the most said the only elite trait he has is his accuracy, which is a huge thing to be elite at if you are a quarterback. So like, I just didn't, I thought they were, I to me, that felt like the media trying to make more of a story than it really was. I don't really think there's anything there. I don't know how you took it.
No, I mean, it's not surprising that there were some guys that probably would have rather seen Fitz in there to, you know, give you a shot to, you know, because they're going for a playoff run, and maybe some were not, you know, not on board with starting the rookie, and he didn't light the world on fire, so it's understandable. But no, if you don't put your name on it, I'm not, you know, I mean, you're not standing behind it that strong. You're just pitching in the wind.
Exactly. All right, cool. So the first thing we should recap is the fantasy camp, because that is that is our favorite segment on the show.
You're not even getting the drop.
What's that?
You're not even getting the drop. That's how.
No, we don't need to do the drop. It was a slaughter for fantasy camp this year. I believe, what was my final record?
Well, it's just easier to say that I won 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was 13-2. Well, I was 13-2 after our week 16 was our last fantasy camp. That was, I had Gaskin, and he was the only one who basically did anything in that Raiders game from a fantasy camp perspective. So I won that one 33.25 to 7.25. Rob got big fat zeros from most of his team. Gesicki gave him 7, and then Ogba gave him the 0.25. I got 30 from Gaskins, and then one from Ahmed, who was just, he was terrible in that Raiders game. And then Lynn Bowden had two catches, so he also got me 2 points.
Not even enough yards, just catches.
I know, but
I hate PPR because that's garbage. You got 10 catches for 9 yards. You should not get 10 points. You should get nothing.
That was, oh man, that was like the texted me Jarvis Landry's stat line from the Chiefs game. 7 catches for 20 yards. I'm like, he's like a living, breathing reason why people hate PPR. He's exactly. he's like the actual if, you know, hating PPR was a person, like that is like he's the reason why there should be no PPR. Like Jarvis Landry is that reason. He was always like 8 catches for like 40 yards with the Dolphins as well. So I remember those games fondly. All right. So yes, I ended up dominating fantasy camp this year. So yay, go James Radio.
You 420 total points to 270 total points. I mean, like
421 to 270. Just incredible. Anyway. All right. On to the next. So then we had Pick'em. So our last Pick'em week, ended up being a push. I had the Chargers -3. They won against the Broncos by 3 points. So that was a push. I had the Cowboys getting 2.5. They ended up crushing the Eagles that game. And then I also took the Lions and their 10 points, and they were just blown out by the Bucks on that Saturday. So I lost that one. But for the season, Rob, why don't you tell them who won?
Well, you had 24 total wins to my 18, and you also had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 total weeks to my less than that, to my
So Radio proves to be the better Pick'em expert and the better fantasy camp, which just, fantasy camper,
just goes to prove what a stupid COVID year 2020 was, and that every title has an asterisk.
I know. I did lose. I lost our actual fantasy championship as well. That was a tough one for me because I was dominating that league all year long.
That is your own damn fault because you insist we play the championship in week 17 and you would have won just fine if you.
I know. I'm not bitching about it though because that's the way those.
You should. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
Whatever. It was fine. I mean. It was a rough Sunday because and I won't spend too much time talking about my fantasy team, but that week 17, I was literally, my team was winning the entire afternoon up until there was like two garbage touchdowns that Jeff Wilson got in that 49ers game. And then, that was it. And then I fell behind and it was lights out for me. I'd been winning all day till the end of the 4 o'clock games. And then my season was over. And
so
my winnings went out the window
only because this is just to throw this out there, because I think it's a fun wrinkle and more people should do this. So my 16 team league, we actually play out the regular season through only the 16 weeks, obviously.
Oh yeah. You've told me this before.
And
I like this.
Yeah. So then I actually took the top one, the number one seed in that. But then what we do is the top six, well, seven teams, we changed it for the playoffs the same way the NFL did. Top seven teams then draft playoff rosters each week. So I had the bye week, and then the second week I came in, and I thought I was going to be destroyed because I had too many guys in the Buffalo Ravens game, and they didn't do anything. But nobody did anything this week, so I ended up advancing. So
nice.
So now I go into the into this week head-to-head with another guy. We basically just will pick our teams from the four games and go from there. But it's fun because it keeps it going. Like you get a regular season champ and then your playoffs.
Cool, so.
It's more like daily fantasy, except you're drafting instead of using a
fab or whatever.
Yeah, of salary cap, but yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's go around the NFL. So I would like to, first off, I want to talk about Wildcard Weekend because this was the first year with the new format, which I absolutely loved. I don't know how you felt about it, but I thought a triple header Saturday, triple header Sunday was just amazing. And I also was I don't know if you watched any of it, but the Nickelodeon coverage of the Saints Bears game.
I actually didn't. I heard it was good.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I flipped over around halftime. And watched the entire second half. Lucy, my daughter, is 8 years old. She actually, I was like, hey, you want to come watch Nickelodeon with me? And she actually thought it was funny. She was she enjoyed some of the you know, the child commentary that they had. The graphics on the field, you know, the SpongeBob showing up in the in between the uprights was cool. The slime, the digital slime for the touchdowns was was pretty great. It was, and Burleson did a fantastic job. That's the first time I heard him call a game.
I'm a Nate fan, man. I think he's really good.
He's my favorite on NFL in the whatever that Good Morning NFL show is on NFL Network. Yeah, he's great. I'm a big fan of Nate Burleson as a commentator. He's been fantastic. Cool. What did you think? How about you? Were you a fan of the new format? Do you like the triple header Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, it's a lot of games, but you know, who's going to say I don't want all these games? I mean, we want all these games. You know what I'm not a fan of? I'm not a fan of the playing them later. I want my 1 o'clock Eastern football and my 4 o'clock and then my night's free. I don't like this, you know, when you're down to the four games, don't give me 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
Move to California.
That's dumb. Because then I'd want it at 10 in the morning.
So you don't want them to be on late, but you want them to all be played at the same time. So you have to only watch one game then?
I want it to be, for the six games, it's fine. That's the way you have to do it. You have your one, your four, you know, that's fine. But when you're down to like last weekend, when you just have the two games on each weekend, on each day, don't start at four and go, I know they want the night game. I don't want the night game. I want to do stuff at night. I want days of football.
So wild card round, the Bills beat the Colts, the Ravens beat the Titans, and the Browns beat the Steelers in the AFC. In the NFC, the Bucks took care of the football team. That game was much closer than I thought it was going to be. And then the Saints handled the Bears, and the Rams defeated the Seahawks. So, no big surprises, really. I guess maybe the Rams was a little bit of a surprise. I was surprised how well the Colts played. I thought they actually, you know, could have won that Buffalo game. And then I wasn't that surprised that the Ravens beat the Titans, because Tannehill looked like they stopped Henry,
right,
and they forced Tannehill to beat them. And that is, as we all know, not something he's really capable of. He's capable of winning games with a good, you know, when he's getting support around him. But if he has to be the guy, it's going to be a challenge for them. So I was rooting for Tannehill to win. It was sad to see him lose. And I don't like the Ravens, but then as they went to Buffalo the following week, I became a huge Ravens fan because I wanted them to stomp Buffalo. And they played one of the worst games I think I've ever seen the Ravens play.
That was not good. I mean, obviously, and I'm sitting there with Lamar on my for fantasy, and I had Diggs did well, but I had Diggs, I had Dobbins, I had Lamar. It was like it was terrible. But I will say this: I am rooting for the Bills against the Chiefs.
What is wrong with you?
Because I want them to lose in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl hangover. Every team who's lost in the Super Bowl misses the playoffs the next year. I want them to have the Super Bowl hangover. And this is the Bills losing a Super Bowl. I want them to lose it. I want them to go wide left.
A Super Bowl would be great, especially in Tampa again. That would be nice.
See,
they do have a history of losing games in Tampa. I am definitely rooting for the Chiefs. I cannot stand the Buffalo Bills. I hate them so, so much.
No, I hate them. I want them to get. I want them to lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I hate them as much as I hate the Jets. And it really, really bothers me that they're good now. So I'm hoping the Chiefs stomp them. All indications are that Mahomes is going to play, although they haven't said that yet, but it looks like he's clearing the protocols. I was actually talking to a Chiefs fan. Some of the chatter is that he didn't even actually have a concussion. It was like, you know, when you get put in a sleeper hold and you kind of get like pass out.
Oh.
Like it was like that's what they think happened to him, because his neck was turned to that way, like, because he didn't really bang his head that hard. It was the way that his neck moved. It looked like the guy put him in a sleeper hold, and that's why he lost consciousness, was because he was, you know, he was not lost, you know, the whatever.
You gotta be in that brain. For like a minute before you lose consciousness.
So Either way, hopefully he's fine and hopefully he plays. I hope the Chiefs destroy the Bills. I can't stand the Bills.
This is what's crazy. I grew up in Jets country in New York area there. So I hate the Jets the most.
Yeah.
And I hate the Pats more than I hate the Bills. Because
the 90s Bills are the ones that I hated that team more than
I know, that, but that, they haven't been that. I hated that 90s Bills so team long.
More than whatever the past 20 years of the Patriots. Mainly because the Dolphins haven't really been that competitive in the past 20 years. And in the 90s, the Dolphins were a very good football team. So that one, that really...
Yeah, but those Bills teams lost the Super Bowl, so they're laughing stocks. The Patriots I know, kept
but
winning.
It was fantastic. That's what I'm saying.
I know, so that's a reason to not hate... I don't know, I hate the Patriots more than I hate
Are
the Bills.
Are you kidding me? I hate the Bills. I hate them.
Of course, but in tiers. We hate the Jets the most, we hate the Pats second, and then we hate the Bills.
No, not for me. Bills, Jets, one.
You're fired.
1A and 1B. And then Pats.
I'm taking applications for new hosts who hate the Pats more than the Bills and the Jets more than the Pats.
Ugh, I can't believe that. I just am shocked to hear your love of the Buffalo Bills. not a year goes by that you don't gush over how good the Buffalo Bills. Oh, sorry guys. Earmuffs. Anyway, so the Bills won that game against the Ravens. The Ravens were terrible and then the Chiefs played the Browns. I turned that game off when it was 19-3, so I actually went grocery shopping and came back and saw that the score was 22-17 and Mahomes had been knocked out, and I thought they were going to lose. I was like, oh, Henny's in this game, they're definitely going to lose. I still don't know how they did not lose that game, but amazing call at the end. Great play by Henny to get that, to pick up those 13 and a half yards. And they ran the same play they ran against us on 4th and 1 at the end of the game. So kudos to them.
And I heard this on someone else. I think it was, I think Bill Simmons made this point that if Andy Reid didn't win the Super Bowl last year, the question is, does he throw that ball on 4th and 1? You know what I mean? Having that monkey off the back lets you play. I mean, it's the right play. I loved everything about that play, because every time people go and draw off sides, I get so mad. I'm like, you have to actually do this, because no one ever does it. Even Romo's like, look, you could tell they're not going to do it. They even faked out Romo. It was fantastic. Yeah. Everything about it was fantastic, that they actually,
Yeah, and that play is impossible to stop too.
Yeah, like you said, they used it to beat us on 4th and 1.
There's really no answer for that play. So as long as the throw is on target,
right?
And then honestly, you had the Packers destroying the Rams. Packers are that is a very, very good football team. I'm excited for the NFC Championship game, because the Bucks, I believe, the Bucks were better than the Saints. Breeze reminded, I don't know if you watched that game, but he looked like Manning did at the end of his career, and like Marino did at the end of his career. Just a shell of himself, unfortunately. Honestly, you hate to see it.
We didn't mention it, but the fact that Rivers was the first to officially retire, I thought was strange, because he actually still looks like he could play. I get that he doesn't want to, but
he was laboring a little bit. I watched a lot of that Jaguars game, because I like the Colts Jaguars at the end. He did not look that good.
But I'm saying in the Bills game, he looked good. He looked good in the playoffs. He did all
right. Yeah, he played well against the Bills. He did. I mean, but not.
I'm just saying, Roethlisberger and Breeze needed to call it, hang it up before Rivers it was already out that Breeze is that he was probably his
he was. Did you see the footage of Brady and him on the field after the game with the kids?
Oh yeah, throwing the touchdown.
That was the best pass Brady threw all day.
Brady's funny. He's because he's obviously not what he was, but he could still make.
I mean, he looked great in the football team game. It's just he missed some throws in that Saints game. I mean, his arm is still there though. It's not like watching Breeze where Breeze can't make the throws. You know what I mean? And he's looks like he's laboring like Brady seems like he's in fine condition. Like, so I'm excited for the Packers Bucks. Who you got?
It's interesting. You know what? I'll go with the upset. I think the Bucks.
I think the Bucks are going to win as well. They're playing their best football at the right time of the year. I mean, the Packers are obviously playing very, very well also. The Bucks handled them pretty easily down in Tampa, but I know that doesn't have any bearing on what this game's going to be like.
I mean, I think, honestly, I think the Packers will win.
Problem for Brady. Yeah. So
I think the Packers will win. It's just that, you know, picking the two number one seeds is boring. So if I think the Bucks have a better shot than the Bills do, and the Bills have a shot.
Oh, I agree. I would like to see, I mean, I'm fine either Bucks or Packers. I think those are two tremendously talented football teams with great offenses, and I would love to see either one of them play in the Super Bowl. I have a feeling like the Bucks are gonna get it done. And that leads us over to Buffalo at Kansas City. My feelings and bias are known. Taking all of that out of the equation, I think Kansas City is the better team, and I think they win the game anyway. I'm just hoping they stomp the Bills. I do not want to see the Bills in the Super Bowl. I think a Chiefs-Bucks or Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl would be fantastic television.
Yeah, but I want.
Yeah, I know, because you love the Bills.
I want them to hurt the most. No, mine is a truer hate than yours.
No,
I want to rip their heart out. You have to rip their heart out. You are too kind to them.
They'll be an AFC championship team again. They'll be AFC champs. They'll get a banner and all that stuff. No.
Super Bowl. And they won't even make the playoffs next year.
No. Not having it. All right. So I'm hoping for Bucks Chiefs, and Rob is hoping for Bucks Bills, it sounds like.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm just gonna flip the script. I'm going Packers Bills.
Packers Bills. All right. So one of us will be right.
Well, not necessarily.
No. There's other combinations that could happen there. Yeah. All right. Cool. Have you, so that's about it for football stuff for me. Have you seen, did you watch WandaVision yet?
I did.
Did you like it? I liked it.
It was fine. I thought those two could have been one. I thought it was.
Yeah, I was annoyed with that. Like, I was excited that they released two episodes, and then I was also annoyed that they're short. I thought they were going to be like hour long episodes, so that was kind of a bummer. And then to have them basically be the same episode,
yeah,
I was like, I mean, they were cool and it was fun. It was way funnier than I thought it was going to be. The actor that plays Vision is a very good actor. He did very, very well, I thought. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. We're allegedly supposed to get more of the plots outlined for us.
Well, they're moving into the 70s. It looks like or whatever.
What are your thoughts? Do you have any idea that like what you think is happening? I think she's obviously trapped in some kind of dimension, but I don't know like who the who is holding her or if she's doing it to herself.
I think she's doing it to herself because Vision's dead. This is right after Infinity.
But I think she's still being held by somebody, but she willingly went to be able to be with Vision.
I think it's herself, but there's a bunch of stuff. The stuff with the sword, that's like a, you know, like the logos, yep, that everyone, that's like an agency that exists in the comics, like a Shield or and a
right,
whatever.
And then they're like the space version of Shield. Yeah. And then there's some of the theories that I've been reading online have I don't know if you know the character Mephisto. He's like the Marvel Universe's version of like the devil or Satan.
Oh yeah.
So there's talk that he's the one that's controlling it, and that's how they're gonna. He's a traditional Doctor Strange villain, there's talks because she's supposed to be in the next Doctor Strange, or she is in the next Doctor Strange movie. So there's got to be some kind of tie-in there. So there's that rumor as well. The theory is the blonde woman that was in the second episode is, you know, the one that was like the devil's in the details. Allegedly, or you know, the theory is that she is Mephisto. So we'll see.
That makes sense.
That'd be cool, I think. Either way, it was fun. I enjoyed how quirky it was. I thought the acting was really good. I agree with you. I thought it was a little repetitive, but I enjoyed it overall. Excited to watch the rest.
I actually kind of went back. I started watching Succession on HBO. It's just like,
oh, that's a good show. I don't know if I saw the second season or not.
So I started watching that. The people are terrible. So the perfect palate cleanser is I started watching Ted Lasso on Apple.
Apple TV. I don't have that Apple TV yet. So
it's actually did, pretty sweet.
I did download CBS All Access to watch The Stand. So I'm all caught up on that. That's been pretty good. Have you seen any of that?
No, because I don't have the All Access, so I wasn't sure if it's something. Well, you can't watch it on the regular CBS app at all, right?
No, so it has to be All Access.
I'll figure out. Well, it's not all out yet, though, right? They didn't finish. It's just like it's just a mini series, right?
Correct. And it's, I think the sixth episode just came out. So
I'll wait till they drop them all and then I'll find a way.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It does the thing where it's like not chronological, which I don't like. Like it like bounces back and forth in the storyline. I think it's,
If you're sticking with one character's arc, I don't mind it so much. If you know,
they're
like,
not. It's with all of them.
That's
I'm not a fan of it. But I mean, the acting, the writing, it's obviously it's the production value is much higher than the '90s version. So that stuff is redeeming. But it would have been nice to see them shoot it chronologically.
Well, they did shoot it chronologically.
You know what I mean. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, actually, you don't know how they shot it, so you don't know.
Oh no, I'm very up on the shooting schedule. I just haven't watched it yet. my cousin's a gaffer.
All right, man. Well, for those listeners that have stayed on and made it to this part of the show, I do think we're going to try and do some more, be more involved. Have more casts throughout the off season. Draft previews, free agency previews, and such. So please stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter at TBlowhole. You can email us. That's actually in the link where you download. You can find it there. I forgot the name off the top of my head. I know it's Gmail. It's a Gmail address.
We are
the Blowhole Podcast on Instagram. So give us a follow. I'll try to keep it up with that stuff. You can see when we're going to drop our next podcast, but we'll keep you up to date on that stuff for the social media. Send us some, any emails, any questions you guys have. We like getting the fan mail when we get it and sometimes.
So within 48 hours of the Watson trade, we'll be up.
Hopefully. Fingers. I mean, that is the desired outcome.
That would be
fine
insane
if they keep Tua. Like I'm not pining for Watson. I just don't want him to go to the Jets.
This team not even upgrading anything with Watson is like 12 wins.
Oh, this team with Watson is Super Bowl contender. I fully agree with that.
He's so good.
I know. All right. Well, thanks everybody. It was, like I said, the Dolphins far exceeded our expectations this season. Please follow us throughout the off season and look forward to a productive and hopefully positive Miami Dolphins offseason.
Let's go, Dolphins!
Go, Fins!